As I start, let me just start with asking, I'm not used to having a microphone. I like to talk with both hands. This is awkward. Is it okay if I just completely be transparent with you this morning? We okay with that? You know, pastor's not perfect, right? Doug says, yep, he was fast as yep. Listen, when the Spirit of God speaks, listen. When the Spirit of God speaks, listen. A couple of months ago, I had one of those moments where I just wanted to do something for myself. I wanted to do something. I didn't think it was wrong. It wasn't sinful. I just wanted it. Anybody? I just wanted it. For a few days, I wrestled. I wrestled with the idea. I kept thinking about what all of you would think if I did it. I was worried about what everybody would think if I did it. What would you say if I went ahead with it? I found myself saying things like this. It's not about them. It's not their decision. I have this freedom. I have the right to do this. Anybody ever justified your decisions? I even talked to a mentor about it. I even asked somebody who sits in this room right here this morning. And to be honest, I wasn't really looking for guidance. What I wanted to do was I wanted to see what the reaction would be. But the answers that I got from them, they didn't sit right with me. And it wasn't because they were wrong, but because deep down I knew what I was doing. You guys know where I'm going with this? I knew what I was doing. Finally, I decided maybe I should take this before the Lord. Who knows, that should have been the first thing. I finally went to the Lord and I said, God, I need direction. This isn't verbatim, but I know that I said something in this line. I have the right to do this if I want. I've got the freedom to make this decision. In that moment, like a freight train, the Holy Spirit said, you don't have that right. You surrendered that right when you became mine. I told you to surrender. It's time to surrender. In that moment, I realized something. My desire, my pride, my will, they were what was driving this thing the entire time. It wasn't out of interest of what the Lord wanted. It was out of interest of what Mike wanted. It was me trying to keep control over a situation. So what is the response? What did I start by saying? When the Spirit of the Lord speaks, what do? You listen. In that moment, I surrendered. In that moment, I let it go. Completely out of my mind. Not because I had to, but because I'm His. He desires more and better for me than I desire for myself. And when He tells me to surrender, the answer can only be what? Yes. Today, we begin a new series called No Rights Reserved. Maybe you have the picture now of where this series is going to go. Over the next few weeks, we're going to explore the freedom, the beauty, and the power that there is when we surrender everything to Christ Jesus. Now, if you have your Bible with you, let me encourage you to open it to Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25 this morning. And as you're turning there, I want to give you a little bit of context of what has happened so far in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9, 23 through 25. By this point in the chapter, Jesus has already fed the 5,000. Peter has confessed that Jesus is the Christ. And now Jesus starts to shift the conversation. He begins to talk about suffering, His death, and what it really means to follow Him. This is where Jesus is almost literally, but he is drawing a line in the sand. Because he's not looking for fans, he's looking for followers. He's looking for disciples, not people who just think he's got good ideology. Because he wasn't chasing crowds, he was starting to shape his disciples. And he tells them straight, this isn't a half-in kind of a thing. This isn't one toe in, one toe out. We're going to tiptoe back and forth. Following him means to literally lay down everything for him. My desires, laid down. My wants, laid down. What I want to do in life, laid down. What I think is an offense, lay it down. What I think should anger somebody, lay it down. Why that person won't forgive me, lay it down. He literally says to lay it all down. So when he asks us to surrender, should we hang on to something and put it in our pocket? Did you know that you are causing yourself to not walk in his freedom when you do that? That was the most silence that I've heard. Guys, I hope you understand the heart that is behind this. I do believe that time is near. I also believe there are people in the church that will find that the Lord does not say to them, well done, good and faithful servant. It's just the reality. So this morning we have a little bit of a heart check. We have to ask ourselves, what I want, is it more important than what the Lord wants? Because what do we desire at the end of the day? Does this life matter? Yeah, it does, but it all is going to be consumed in flame. The only thing that stands at the end of that day is our soul before the Lord. So the money that we're chasing, the things that we want, the retirement that we hope to have, I want this for my kids, I want that for my grandkids, I want that for my husband, I want that for my wife, all gone. How long have you labored and toiled for the thing that you want just to see it someday be gone? So let me submit to you today that we need to live in a position of surrender unto the Lord because his plans are better than our own. Right? His plans are better. So let's read this with all of that in mind as we read his words together. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Will you stand before the Lord faithful? This is where the call to surrender begins. Not later, not when it's easy, not when I get through the next thing that I'm walking through. It is right now, right here, in this moment. Surrender yourself unto the Lord today. And if you want to follow Jesus, if we want to follow Jesus, he makes it clear that it begins with surrender. If your prayer is not more about what the Lord wants in our life, but is more consumed with our demands, our wants, our desires, our comforts, are we living in surrender or are we taking a grocery list before the Lord? It begins with surrender, not with demands. It starts with a denial of self, not personal rights. So, the thing I wanted to do, I could still go do it. But you know what? At this point, I would be disobedient unto the Lord because he told me not to. He told me to surrender. It was a heart check for me because I was not in a position where I wanted to hear no, because it's not the right thing at this time. So it is a denial of self, not with personal rights. That leads us to our first point this morning. If you want to write this down, I totally forgot. Could we have, Dave, could you grab these papers? I have sermon notes. Like, I worked to get you sermon notes this week and a reflection guide this week. And here I am not handing out the sermon notes for people to fill in the blanks and do all the things. We'll give them just a second here because I think I'm going to need one too because I'm certain I just passed a fill in the blank. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 is the first fill in the blank scripture. Let me go back to that. What does it say? If anyone would come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his what? Cross daily. Oh, that was weird. They did it again. Lesh, can you? I don't know why it's done that. We might have another capital campaign real short like here if this continues. Guys, keep your notes in front of you. You've got a section to write down notes. We're getting to our main point this morning. Are you ready? First one, surrender first. Surrender first. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been what? Crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Here's what I need everybody to understand this morning. You did not add Jesus to your life. You did not add Jesus to your life. What you did when you accepted him is you laid your life down and gave it to him. If that is not your understanding of what you did, we need to talk. Because it is not an add Jesus to my situation. It is to crucify my situation and give it to him. Okay? So we gave of ourselves to him. We gave up our rights. And most people think that surrender is something you do once. Who knows that it's not? Who knows surrender is a daily thing? Right? Every single day. It's not a decision that you made years ago when you prayed a certain salvation prayer on a Sunday night at the altar. But Paul says this is his present reality. I have been crucified. He's living like a man who doesn't belong to himself. Can we say that today? Can we say that it's not me who's calling the shots, but rather it's Jesus who's calling the shots in my life? Can we say that this morning? Can we say that our life fully belongs to Jesus? Can we say that we're going to stand faithful at the end of the age? Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, this isn't on the notes, we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. If the old you was crucified with Christ, why are you still listening to it? If your old self was crucified with Christ, why are you still defending your rights when Jesus has already put them to death? If the old self was crucified with Christ, why do we view surrender as a weakness? Because if we're being honest, to crucify the old self with Christ means that it is the starting point of real life in Christ. Do we understand that this morning? To crucify the old self with Christ is to step into real life with Christ. Some of us this morning should probably stop and ask a couple of heart questions. Am I still trying to add Jesus to my way of life, or have I laid mine down? Are you trying to add Jesus in your day-to-day, or are you trying to lay yourself down for Jesus? And if you have laid it down, the question then becomes, who owns this life? Who owns this life? Because surrender, as most of us know, surrender is only part of the story, isn't it? What comes next is ownership. Who owns us? That leads us to I forgot to put Galatians 2:20. There it is on the screen if you need it. This brings us to our next point, ownership. And our next point is this, you're bought. You have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. What does it say? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. When Jesus saved you, listen, he didn't just forgive you. When he saved you, guess what? He purchased you. He purchased you with a ransom. That means, guess what? Your life isn't your life to run anymore, is it? Dusty, did you ever think you'd be on the mission field? Is it you running it or is it Christ? Come on. Your time, your decisions, your body, your plans, guess who they belong to? Christ. No longer does it belong to me, because I have surrendered that to him. Because he bought you with his blood. You ready for this? You might want to write this down. Sermon note section down there for you to write if you'd like to. Because he bought you with his blood, he has the full right to shape every part of your life in love. Sometimes that means we have to let go of things. Sometimes we need to quit persisting in things that have no traction. Sometimes that means things that we think are good are actually more of a distraction in our relationship with the Lord than they ought to be. So he has that right to come in and to shape every part of your life in love. Who knows that it's always in love? It's never out of anger. Sometimes is it discipline? Yeah. But who knows, when you discipline a child, it's not to change behavior only. It's because you love them so much that you don't want to see them fall into the trap of what sin is. Can somebody testify? Unpunished kids are what? Chaos. Let's be honest. So we want to shape them to be good citizens, to be good humans, to be good section of society. I am going clear off a rabbit trail that I didn't have planned there. But as parents, we have the job to shape our kids to be good human beings. The Lord wants to shape us to be good reflections of who Jesus Christ is. Because it's not our life anymore, is it? It's his life. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:18 through 19 that we were ransomed with the precious blood of Christ. We were ransomed. We were purchased by the blood of Christ. Let me ask you a couple of questions this morning. What areas of your life are you still holding the title to? Think of a car title. Ownership. That's what I'm asking. What areas of your life are you holding ownership to? What have you said, this is mine about? So you've got something that you're saying, this is mine, even though Jesus has already paid it. Do you know that he wants you to walk in freedom? Do you? Do you know that Jesus wants you to walk in freedom? Because he's already paid for it. So why are we hanging on to something that he's already completed and paid for? Think of it like this. Think of your life like a vehicle. At some point, they get old, break down, and they fail, right? That was supposed to be funny, but listen, we'll just keep moving on. Think of life like a vehicle. If you own your vehicle, what do you have to show that ownership? A title. A title that has your name on it. You can drive it however you want, can't you? You can drive it as hard as you want, as fast as you want. If you don't want to use the brakes, you don't have to use the brakes. But what happens when we borrow a vehicle and our friend's name is on that title? Don't we be more delicate? Aren't we more careful? Do we give it back to them in better shape than when we first borrowed it? Do we fill up the gas tank? Yeah, it's completely different. You're going to treat it differently when it is not yours. The same idea applies here. If we don't own our life, if Jesus owns it, then he's the one that gets to set the direction, the speed, and even the destination. Who are we to say, no, turn right when he tells us to turn left? So let's stop acting. You can write this down. Let's stop acting like co-owners of something that Jesus fully paid for. You are not a co-owner of your life. You have surrendered it unto Christ, period. So if we have surrendered, if we have been bought, then here's the next question. What kind of life does that lead to? Because Jesus didn't call us to give everything up so we'd be empty. He doesn't want you to be empty. He called us to give everything up so we could receive even better, even more. He's called us to surrender it all because he has a better plan than we have. And this takes us to the last truth of today. Let go to live. Sometimes we have to let go to live. Dusty, just because I know your story better than most people in here, where would you be today if Jesus would not have intervened in your life? Dead or in prison. So it's fair to say that let go to live absolutely applies to your life. Luke chapter 9, our main scripture, 24 through 25. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? This is where the upside down nature of God's kingdom starts to play in. How do we lose to gain? How do we give up to get more, right? This is how God's kingdom works. The world says to hold on, to protect your life, to fight for your rights, to do what you think you've been called to do. Jesus says literally the opposite. Let it go. Lay it down. Give it to me. And guess what? When you do, you actually find life. Life abundant, by the way. I know that some of you are sitting in here this morning exhausted. Not because you're doing too much, not because you're not sleeping well at night, but because you're clinging on so tightly to something that Jesus said to let go of. You're trying to keep control. You're trying to manage your image. You're trying to protect your preferences. And guess what? It's wearing you out. If we were to summarize, you can write this down and go look it up later. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. In summary, Paul says this, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ because of the surpassing worth of knowing him. What are you still holding on to? What do you think you need to be okay? What is it in your life that you need to be okay with understanding that Jesus is asking you to lay it down? What is it in your life that you need to lay down at the foot of the cross this morning? I think I've done this demonstration before with open hand, closed hand, right? Here a couple months ago, I did something with open hand, closed hand. When your hands are full, pretend that this isn't a Bible, but you should have your hands full of God's Word every single day, right? If your hands are full, can I receive anything new? If I'm holding on to whatever that situation is, and I don't want to let go of it, can I receive anything new? No. But if I release it, and I open my hands, guess what I've just done? I have created space for something greater. And it's the Lord's plan in my life. That's what surrender does. Surrender is this idea of opening up to releasing and to make more room for God to move in your life. What is it that you are hanging on to today? You're not losing your life. You're simply trading it. And let me tell you, the trade is worth it. The trade is absolutely worth it. So today we've talked about surrender. We've talked about ownership. We've talked about letting go. So now what? What do we do with that? How do we take this and apply it? How are we actually supposed to do anything with this? Mike said some really good things today, but I have no idea what he really said. I don't know how I'm supposed to let go of something that I don't know how I'm holding on to it, right? We're going to pull it all together here. You ready? Today we've looked at three clear truths from God's Word. The first one, you didn't add Jesus to your life. You didn't add Jesus to your life. You laid your life down and gave it to Him. You gave Him the keys. You said, here, it's all yours now. It's not mine anymore. You were bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself anymore. Your name is no longer on that title. And you don't find real life by holding on. You find real life by letting go. You find real life by letting go. So again, what are we supposed to do with this? What does it mean for Monday morning? Not Sunday morning. What does it mean for Monday morning when life hits and we start the week? Listen, do you know that it is Satan's desire to see every one of us not make it into the kingdom of God? Do you understand that? Just because you profess Christ as your Savior at 11 years old and you're now 72, I don't know if that is somebody in here. I'm not talking about you. I'm just throwing out random numbers. Just disclaimer there. Just because you said that prayer does not mean that Satan can't snatch you up. And I don't mean that he's going to steal you and you're going to unwillingly lose. We willingly make that decision every day by every choice that we make. We're either going forward or we're going backwards. There is no just standing stationary. Do we all understand that this morning? So here's what it means for Monday morning. It means that we walk into Monday asking questions a little bit differently. You can write these down if you want. We don't ask, what do I want? Lord, this is what I want today, blah, 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 blah. Instead, we ask, what does Jesus want? What does Jesus want from me today? How can I be obedient? How can I surrender to His will and plan for my life? We don't go into Monday morning asking, how does this serve me? How many of us, don't raise your hand for the please of everything, don't raise your hand. How many of us gauge what the benefit is to us before we say yes to serving? How much time do I have to put into this? What am I getting out of this? Are we weighing every decision to serve based off of our personal desires? But instead, let's ask this question. You ready? How does this honor the one who bought me? When you've been asked to serve, instead of saying, how much time do I have to devote to this? Why do I need to do this? Why am I the one being asked? Maybe instead we should say, how does this bring honor to Christ by saying yes to this? That changes everything, doesn't it? It absolutely changes everything. It means that you surrender in real ways. It means that we bite our tongue when pride wants to speak. And when I say that, listen, I see my mom. When I was a small child, when she got mad, she would bite her tongue so hard. Face would turn. She's a redhead. So just like Caleb, turned beet red, bite her tongue. She wanted to say everything in the book, but she would bite her tongue to keep herself from saying it. So when we want to speak out, when we want to, when pride wants to come in charge and speak, or anger for that matter, listen, if you have to bite your tongue to keep from saying it, bite your tongue. Somebody should have said amen to that, right? Bite your tongue. Don't say it. It also means this. You forgive even when bitterness feels justified. You forgive when you feel like you've been wronged and you're justified to be upset with that person. Guess what? You have no right. You have no right. You don't have a right. If anybody has the right, who is it? It's Christ Jesus. Because we are the ones that sinned unto Him. He has the right to be mad. But what did He do? He went and gave Himself for us. It means that you stay faithful, even when it would be easier to walk away. That what He is asking us to do sounds like so much and is so hard that you're starting to ask the question, maybe it's easier if I just step away from this. Maybe it's easier if I just let this kind of go away and I can just worry about myself and do my own thing. That's the lie of Satan. He wants you to walk away because things are going to get infinitely worse when you do. And then it finally means this. Some of you need to open your eyes and look at me this morning and hear this with every syllable that comes off of my tongue. You have to stop fighting for control and start trusting His lead. You have to stop fighting for control and start trusting His lead in your life. Listen, none of this today, if this got and tugged on, this isn't me. What this was designed to do was to not guilt, was to not pressure, but it was to ask us about our posture. What is our posture before the Lord this morning? A posture of surrender says this: Lord, nothing held back. I'm yours. Can we say today, Lord, nothing held back. I'm yours. Ask yourself this morning if you can say that. And church, that is how we live out engaging our community for Jesus. Stacy, if you want to make your way up. It's by surrendering unto the Lord. It is not by building a church full of people demanding their way. Listen, if we all fought for our way, would we get anything done in here? No, it's not possible. We all have different preferences, don't we? We all desire different things. We have different things that are important to us than it isn't to the other person. So if we all fought and demanded our way, we are not a church that is a church surrendered. But if we surrender, we become a church full of people who have laid down their lives and said, Jesus, your way. Your way. Have your way in my life. Who knows that the world doesn't need louder Christians? The world doesn't need louder Christians. Let me take it a step further. We don't need people who profess Christ, that hold a platform, that have a lot of people, and pretend like they speak for Christ Jesus. We don't need it. We don't need to be louder. I should bring my volume down because we're not trying to be loud. The world doesn't need louder Christians. Guess what it needs? Surrendered ones. Totally, wholly surrendered unto Him. Surrendered people are bold in love. Surrendered people are generous with grace. Surrendered people live in a way that make others curious about Jesus. Do you know why that's why your life is not your own? Because we are to bring people to Christ Jesus. Through our life, how we live, they should see the reflection of Christ Jesus in everything we do, in everything we say, that it would point people back to Him. I believe firmly, I believe it's summer, so it gets sketchy on who's here. There's going to come a day when every seat in the sanctuary is full, because we are a people who are going to walk and live and to surrender unto the Lord. And I'm just going to ask you to believe that with me this morning. If you can't buy into that vision, can I be so bold to say maybe this isn't the right church for you? If you don't want to see more seats in this house, sorry, I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to see people come in and to give their life surrendered unto the Lord every Sunday. If time is close, what are we doing about it? If the end of the age is coming about, who have you told about Jesus this week? And if the answer is nobody, what are you doing? What am I doing? It is about surrender. It is about surrender. So, this is how we change a town. This is how we change a community. This is how we change the state of Iowa. This is how we change our country. This is how we reach into every corner of the world and we change the world. It starts right now with us this morning saying, I surrender totally unto Him. It starts with us. It starts with surrender. It starts with no rights reserved. Maybe this morning, as we've walked through this today, maybe you've realized something, that you've never fully surrendered your life unto Jesus. You might believe in God, you might even come to church, but if you're being honest, you've been holding the title to your life. You're still the one calling the shots. You're still the one clinging to control. But Jesus didn't come to improve your life, did He? He didn't come to improve your life. He came to what? To save it. To save you from the pits of hell. And that starts with surrender. That starts with surrender. The Bible says that you were bought with a price. That price is the blood of Jesus. Poured out for you on the cross. He paid for your sin. Listen, I feel like somebody needs to hear this right now. You don't have to keep working off your sin. The Lord paid it once and for all. You do not have to be perfect in front of Him because He makes you perfect. He is the one that does the justifying. If we were to stand on our own, guess what? We are a wicked and depraved people and we will always fall short of the glory of God. He stands with us in front of the Lord and He says, I've paid for that sin. I have covered that. It is gone. So if it is gone, why are you struggling with it? Why are you hanging on to it? Come on. Let Him have it this morning. Give it out and say, Jesus, this is yours. I don't want it. I don't want to carry it anymore. He conquered death on that cross. He rose again guess what? So that we could one day have eternal life. So when we take communion and we talk about until the day, until He comes, there's going to be a final supper in heaven that is the completion of all of this. You can read all about it right here. If you don't know what I'm talking about, get in your Bible. But this isn't about someday. This isn't about someday future when I get this right or I figure out how to let this go. Your response is right now. Your response is right now in this moment. If you're ready to stop living for yourself, who's ready to stop living for themselves, right? If you're ready to lay down your pride, if you're ready to lay down your plans, your sin, your rights, and say, Jesus, my life is yours today. Friends, listen, today is your day. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment here. If that is you today, listen, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a moment right now to surrender unto Him. If that is you, would you just raise your hand right where you're at? Is there anybody today? For the rest of us then, for the rest of us today, we may know Jesus. We may already, in fact, be walking with Him. But if we're honest, there's still areas in our life that we're hanging on to. There's still things that we're trying to control. Things that we call ours, such as the right to be heard, the right to comfort, the right to lead, the right to stay angry, the right to stay offended, the right to choose what we give, and the right to choose what we keep. But when we said yes to Jesus, we actually laid down all of those rights. So what rights this morning are you still trying to reserve? If the Spirit is putting His finger, and it's painful, He's putting His finger on something, don't ignore it. Don't start explaining it away in your mind. Don't wait for a more convenient time, because let me tell you, this is the most convenient time. Today is the day to surrender. Today is the day of your response. Church, the altar is open. If you need to kneel, come kneel. If you need to come weep at the altar. If you need to come open your hand and to let go, come and let go. As the worship team leads us, let me encourage everybody in here, come and respond to the voice of the Lord. Come and surrender this morning with no rights reserved.